Today is the fifth Sunday of Lent, and we begin what is traditionally known in the Roman Rite as the season of Passiontide. Now, Passiontide is a mini-season within the season of Lent, and it's a time where in our liturgy, Holy Mother Church invites us to contemplate and prepare with greater intensity for the passion and death of our Lord. Because in 2 short weeks, we'll already be celebrating the great feast of Easter. So let's take a look at our gospel this morning. It's from John chapter 12. Context is everything. Immediately before, in John chapter 11, we hear the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And all of us are familiar with the great power that's manifested by Jesus as he raises his friend Lazarus. But there's a very important detail in chapter 11. Immediately after Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, the religious leaders plot to put him to death. You see, the raising of Lazarus was the final nail in the coffin for Jesus. They'd had enough. They couldn't let this miracle worker continue to do these mighty deeds, lest the crowds continue to follow him in even greater number. And even Lazarus, the scriptures tell us, they sought to put him to death as well. And the chapter immediately after the passage that we just read is chapter 13, the washing of the feet. And it's where Jesus gives the new commandment, something that we'll reflect together on Holy Thursday night. But he says, love one another even as I have loved you. You see, before the law just said, love the Lord your God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. But Jesus now takes that to himself and says, his own love on the cross is now the definitive model of how we ought to love one another. And then he ends that chapter with that powerful line, this is how others will know that you are my disciples, by how you love one another. But in the gospel today, we hear Jesus speak that unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And of course, Jesus is alluding to his own death, that he himself is the grain that is going to fall to the ground and die, but through his death, there's going to be a great harvest of souls that God ushers into his kingdom. And he tells us that whoever hates his life will keep it for eternal life. Now, Jesus is apt to say these strange things. It makes us pause and reflect. What does he mean? Well, he's speaking of the reality that if you and I are going to be his disciples, we too must carry our cross. But we speak a lot about carrying the cross in discipleship and suffering with the Lord, offering it up, as we like to say as Catholics. But what's the destination that we carry our cross to, brothers and sisters? You and I are called by Jesus to carry our cross with him to Golgotha, to Mount Calvary. We're not called simply to carry the cross. We're called to walk with him this walk that will lead to our own death. We are on this journey to be crucified with him. To put to death those things in our lives that keep us far from him. Those things that tear at our relationship with God. To put those to death. To crucify, St. Paul says, the flesh with its passions, so that we can rise with Christ. What are some of those things that Jesus may be calling us to put to death and crucify in our own lives? Perhaps, for most of us, it's our ego, our pride, and our stubbornness. We live in a culture that is, have it your way. Maybe we need to crucify that desire for revenge, or that unforgiveness, or that hatred that we've carried in our heart towards another person. For some of us, it means putting to death the desire to be in control, which is a lack of trust that God our Father is watching over and guiding our lives. Maybe it's greed, or lust, or worldliness. But we all have those sins of the flesh that Jesus is calling us to put to death. Because unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Now, we also hear Jesus say these powerful words. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Now in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we're very accustomed to hearing the story of when Jesus goes into the garden, right, on the eve of his passion. And he prays, let this cup of suffering pass from me, but not my will, but thy will be done. In the Gospel of St. John, that story is not told to us. Instead, we're given this passage in which Jesus makes the same prayer of trustful surrender as he approaches his death. In the Synoptics, Jesus is in the garden sweating drops of blood. Here, he says, my soul is deeply troubled. Deeply troubled. There's an anguish to Jesus as he goes to the cross. And he says, what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Now, of course, St. John speaks regularly throughout his gospel about Jesus' hour. The first time we hear reference to his hour is at the wedding feast of Cana, where Mary approaches Jesus and says, they have no wine. And what does Jesus say to Mary? He says, woman, what is it to me? My hour has not yet come. What is he saying? He's saying, if we begin this miracle, so will begin my public ministry. And if my public ministry begins, so will the time of moving towards my hour. You see, what he's doing is he's asking his mother, are you ready to go with me to the cross? And what does she say to the servants at that time? Do whatever he tells you. And he performs that great and first miracle of the multiplication of the wine for the wedding couple. Now we hear Jesus once again speak of his hour, which is the hour of the cross. It's the reason he's come into the world, to give himself in love. There's this beautiful line, and we'll hear it on Holy Thursday, but I want to read it to you, because it's from the beginning of chapter 13. Now, before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. That passage is so rich. His hour is about loving us to the very, very end. But Jesus also ties in his hour with his glory in the glory of his Father. Right? Because St. John wants to make it very clear that if you want the glory that comes from following Jesus, there's only one way to get it. And that's by following him to the cross and through the cross to the resurrection. You know the saying, no pain, no gain? Well, no cross, no crown. If you don't die with Jesus, you will not live and reign with Jesus. And Jesus is beckoning us to come, follow me. Die with me so that you might live. And the whole purpose, he says, is that the judgment of this world will be made manifest. And what does he tell us in our gospel? That the judgment is this. The ruler of this world is being cast out. And who's the ruler? It's Satan, prince of darkness and father of lies. Jesus comes as an exorcist. Yes, Jesus Christ is the exorcist. He comes to cast out sin and to cast out Satan. And that's the Christian life, to cooperate with his grace in becoming free from sin. And we have our whole life to grow in this life of holiness, to become the saints that God has destined us to be. But we ought to be careful lest we fall into fatalism. If we just think, well, if I pray a little, God will take care of my problems. Yes, we need his grace, and without his grace, we can do nothing. Jesus says that. Without me, you can do nothing. But guess what? Jesus also says to us that without your yes, I can do nothing. It's fully his work in our lives about bringing our sanctification about, and it's fully our cooperation in choosing to do what Jesus wants us to do. The goal is that we too can pray those lines of Jesus, Father, glorify your name. Now, in the Byzantine tradition, Holy Week, which we begin next week with Palm Sunday, is called the Week of the Bridegroom, because it's the week in which the bridegroom goes to lay down his life for his bride, the church. And so this season of Passion Tide that we've begun is the great preparation for the holiest week of the entire year, the week of the bridegroom. Let us take time to really pray with these scripture readings. Pick up John chapter 18 and chapter 19, which tell us of his passion and death. Spend some time, brothers and sisters, in prayer, prayerfully reading over how Christ has loved us, his bride, in this next week. Now today, at this point in time, I want to invite our elect and candidate to please come forward for the rite of scrutiny. And as they're doing that, I'll explain what the scrutinies are. The scrutinies are a series of prayers in which those who are coming into the church at Easter undergo to prepare for the Easter vigil. And they are fundamentally a prayer of exorcism. You'll notice that during this rite, they're going to be invited to kneel down, and we'll have a period of silence where their elect and the candidates are going to think about their sins. As they've been studying the faith, they've been studying the mystery of sin, of repentance, of conversion. And listen carefully, candidates and elects and all of us gathered here, to the prayers, the petitions that you hear prayed, because they show how the church invites us to prepare for the reception of the sacraments. And though most of us here have already received our initiation, we can listen to these prayers with attentiveness to understand what God did for us when we were baptized and confirmed. And so, I invite the elect of God to kneel down and pray.